Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks near Branson, Missouri. And we are looking at the book of Revelation. Today, we're seeing what Jesus, the head of the church, had to say to the angel of the assembly of Ephesus. He sent a message. He sent this whole book of Revelation to be written down and sent to seven churches, seven assemblies, then in existence. And the first one, if you want to catch up with us, if this is the first time you've been with us, you'll want to go on our archives at Billy Brim, BillyBrim.org, and you can begin with the radio archives, July 16, when we began to look at the book of Revelation. It's exciting. Now, these are seven churches that were in existence, and as Hilton Sutton said, it is the inspired word of God, and so each contains a message for us, whether it's instruction or warnings, lest we should fall into the snares that they had fallen into. And so we'll see what he said to those churches, the one who walked among them. Unto the angel of the church or assembly of Ephesus write, "These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands." You'll want to listen to yesterday to see how we looked at how exciting that is. Jesus said, "I know your works." Ephesus itself, let's look at that a little bit. And this is a statement from the Numerical Bible Comments. Ephesus itself was, as we know, the church to which the apostle addressed that epistle, which gives us the doctrine of the church itself, not its earthly but its heavenly character. The highest truth of Christian position and wonderful character of the church as the body of Christ, the house of God, and the spouse of the Lord Jesus is developed in the book to the Ephesians. The book of the Ephesians is my very, very favorite book. It has the highest, most glorious revelation and doctrine. So to this church, which had been pastored by John, pastored by Timothy, Paul himself founded it and loved it so, and we have the highest revelation that we literally are raised. We were quickened with Christ. We were raised with him and seated at his own right hand in the heavenlies, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named. This is that church of Ephesus, that church that was told, put on the armor of God and rule and reign over Satan and all of his attempts to harm you. That church with the highest of all revelation is this church that he writes to and sends the first letter to. And so we read it. With every church, he begins with what he approves of. And then he gives of what he disapproves of, or gives them warnings. And so this is what he said to them in approval. Verse 2, "I know your works and your labor and your patience, and how you cannot bear them which are evil. And you have tried them which say they are apostles, and they're not. And you have found them liars. And you have borne and have patience. And for my name's sake you have labored, and you have not fainted. Nevertheless, I have against thee," King James, for understanding's sake, puts, "I have somewhat against thee." He begins with what was good about them. Their works, he knows them. He knows all of our works. He knows our patience. He knows what you might say works for God, which will be with us at the judgment seat of Christ. Some are described as wood, hay, and stubble, which will go up into flames, but there are those which are gold, silver, and precious stones. And those wonderful works, he knows them. He knows what they've done for his name's sake. He knows they have not been weary in well-doing. But he does have something against them. And it almost makes one catch your breath. You have left your first love. What is our first love? Our first love is him. In all the works, in all the doing, there can be the forgetting of him. I remember Roxanne Brandt, a woman minister that came to see Brother Hagin, and she had had a time of dryness, a time of, you might say, burnout. I think it even it affected her health. And Brother Hagin had been very instrumental in helping her and praying with her and getting her to see how to get up and out of that. And she was so thankful. At that time, people didn't like to sometimes hear the faith message. So she said, all I have to do is call it trust, and they accept it. She laughed about that. She was a beautiful lady. But she told me what got her into her trouble physically. She said, I was so involved in the work of the Lord that I forgot the Lord of the work. And that's something that absolutely we cannot do. I don't believe personally that there's any reason for burnout. Because if you walk and talk with him every day, and he is your first love, you love him more than you love your family. You love him more than you love preaching. You love him more than the work he called you to do. You can't burn out in the knowledge of that presence. But I know how you must really fight every single day to do that. Every single day, the natural would pull upon you. I get up in the mornings and I like to spend my first time with him. But sometimes when I'm sitting there, you know, and I've got my Bible and I'm thinking about him, suddenly, not suddenly, but slyly, the enemy will make you think, oh, today you've got to answer such and such an email. You haven't read your emails in 3 days. You haven't done this, da-da-da-da. You got an email from somebody. So many, I don't know if those emails are a blessing or not. But we can't have the work of the Lord taking up all of our time from the Lord of the work. You see what he said here? This is really serious. He said, you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from whence you are fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto you quickly and will remove your lampstand out of its place, except you repent. All right, they're a lampstand. He calls the assembly itself a lampstand. The church, the body of believers that meets there in Ephesus, or that meets where you meet, that's the lampstand. And it's connected with the lampstand in heaven, the seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit. It's getting light from the throne of God. We know that lampstand is before the throne. We see it here in the first chapter, verse 4, and we see it in another chapter. That lampstand, the Holy Ghost, is before the throne. And he's giving the light down through his temple. We are a temple of the Holy Ghost. And he's giving that light of that lampstand down through the assemblies on earth. And those people who are sitting in the dark, dark world, they're supposed to be a light among them. But that light can only come if that light is still getting its oil of the Holy Ghost. If it's still getting its oil to burn, its light with from the throne. And the Lord says to Ephesus, who is the church that had the highest revelation of any other church as far as we know, he says to them, unless you repent, I will come and take away your lampstand. There won't be any more light coming out from you. I will take it away. And you will be, you know, like the temple in the Old Testament. When the glory left, when the Shekinah glory left, it was just a shell. So this says to us that Jesus wants each of our assemblies to be bright, shining lights with revelation, the fire of the Holy Spirit coming right down from heaven and lighting this darkened world. And it's such a serious thing that if you forget your first love, he will come and remove it, except you repent. The word repent is two times in verse 5. There are some saying that there is no need for the church to repent. This is New Testament. This is the book of Revelation. This is the risen Lord speaking. And he says, if this is the case, then you need to repent. And if you don't repent, I will remove the lampstand. Doesn't say you, individual believer, will not go to heaven. Doesn't say that at all. This is not going to be a lampstand, a light-giving facility, unless you repent. Repent is not a hard word to understand. It simply means to turn. Brother Copeland said the other night, I can repent in my car. I can be headed from Fort Worth north toward Oklahoma City. But if I turn and go west toward Amarillo, if I want to get to Oklahoma City, I'm going to have to repent. I'm going to have to turn. I'm going to have to turn that car. Actually, it's more like a 180. You have to change your direction. If you have not been remembering your first love, then you repent, you turn directions, you change directions, and you remember your first love again. Because it's only out of that fountain in the Old Testament, in chapter 2 of Jeremiah, the Lord said, my people have committed two evils. They have forgotten me, the fountain of living waters, and they have hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. You see, they're thirsty, this world, and they need the living water. They need the living fountain. They need the light of God. And so if we just have an empty cistern, when we've dug out of our own selves, when we figured out what to do in our own things, it's not by might, it's not by power, it is by the Spirit of the living God. And so this then would be an inspired scripture that we can learn from, that we, our leaders, our people, need to keep Jesus as our first love. Verse 6, you do have this, you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. I've studied about the Nicolaitans. Some have some ideas about this, some have others, but it was wrong doctrine that was detrimental and could hurt the church. Now, to every one of the churches, to every one of them, to every one of the assemblies, Jesus said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. To every church, Jesus said, every assembly, you hear, if you have an ear, you hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. The Holy Spirit is talking to the churches, talking to the assemblies. And to every church, he said to them, every one of them, even the ones that were the worst shape, and within you, you can have overcomers. We are always told to overcome. There is never a hint that we are to be overcome. The church of the living God is to be an overcomer. We'll be back here tomorrow to talk about and begin with the church at Smyrna. We love you and thank you for listening. This is Billy Brim. Shalom.